step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
This is a Bad Entertainment podcast.
Life without hope. Now that's living hell.
This is what real hope looks like. This is the word that those hopeless people need to hear. This is the word that 3,000 people that try to commit suicide today, the 3,000 that will try to commit tomorrow, 3,000 that will try to commit on Monday, this is the word that they need to hear, is that there is hope.
It's real superpower. It's hope. There's hope. It means hope.
Welcome to the Victims and Villains podcast. This is the show where we talk nerd, we talk hope, and we speak nothing else. I'm your host, Captain Nostalgia, and there is hell to pay with this episode because we're talking about the 2019 reboot of Hellboy. And if you guys are wrestling fans, we put out another episode today outside of this one. It is part one of two-part series. We're discussing WrestleMania 2019. We will have links for that in the description wherever you guys are listening to this, or just refresh your feed on your podcast catcher wherever you guys are listening to this right now. Please help me in welcoming one of our on-staff writers, Mr. Brandon Riff Daddy Miller. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just getting in from this movie and looking forward to talking about it and eating some goldfish. Not actual goldfish, the crackers.
Nah, you guys can't see. You can't see this right now, but he's like actually on video, like just eating live goldfish right now. It's weird.
Yeah, I have like a fishbowl. I'm just turning it over.
It's a sight to behold.
Mm-hmm. When I get done, I'm gonna put it on my head and be the guy from the album art of Emery's "The Week's End."
All right, man. So I'm going to turn it over to you first. What did you think about this movie? And how do you think it... We're not going to talk about how it compares to the other two movies, but what did you think of this movie right here?
It was a good effort. I've been trying to think of what I'm going to say to this question on my entire ride home. I was actually thinking of this answer like in the middle of the movie. It was a good effort. I'm a big fan of David Harbour because of Stranger Things, obviously. So like, I wanted to like it a lot. I wanted to love it. I wanted to absolutely love it. And I didn't love, like, absolutely love it, but I mean, I didn't hate it. But I mean, I thought it was a good effort. I mean, I thought Harbour was a good Hellboy. I did enjoy Mila. I'm gonna butcher her last name. Is it Jovovich?
Yes.
Okay. I did enjoy her role in the movie as well. Definitely didn't really enjoy the dude that played the I forgot his name.
Professor Broom?
No, Broom was fine. It was the dude that turned into the leopard.
Okay, spoiler. We're not there yet.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I didn't mean to. That never happened.
But you're thinking of David, I'm thinking the guy's name. Oh, man, what is the guy's name? Why is this so... Oh, David Dean D. Kim, who plays Major Ben DeMaio, and he is probably most famous to a lot of people from Lost. He played Jin So Woon.
Never seen Lost.
Me neither. But I agree with you, man. Like this, I'm like very split, like right down the middle. It's a good effort. It's not a great movie. It's not a terrible movie. There's a lot of things to like, and there's a lot of things to hate about this movie. And I think that that was kind of a lot of the things that I don't know what I was expecting kind of coming into this film. What I wanted more than anything was I wanted Harbor's Hellboy to be different than Perlman's Hellboy, because Perlman has played Hellboy 4 times, 2 live action, 2 animated. And I mean, when people think of that character, that's generally what they think about. Even when we first heard of this film, there was a lot of backlash because it wasn't the third Guillermo del Toro, Ron Perlman completing the trilogy of the film, instead of they just went for that straight reboot. So Harper was up against a lot of things, but I agree. I think that he's always been an actor that I've really enjoyed. He's been very much a background actor.
Mm-hmm.
Before Stranger Things was really what kind of put him on the map, and this is really his like first starring role. And just a disclaimer, this podcast could be a Tide podcast. You just never know, because we're talking about David Harbour. But I really enjoyed his a lot about his take on the character. He was funny in all the right words where he had to be funny, but he was also like really damaged, and like they presented him as like this really complex hero, and I think that that's what they tried to do with the film as well, but that complexity is just really messy.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It was.
So this is what we're gonna do is we are gonna take a quick commercial break real quick. We're gonna jump in and talk about spoilers right after the commercial break. So if you guys haven't seen Hellboy 2019 yet, hit pause, go to your local cinemas, and then come back and check it out and let us know what you thought about it. But more importantly, the reason that we do this show and the reason that we push the content that we do is so that you guys can know that there is hope. If you or someone you know is struggling with suicide, addiction, self-harm, or depression, please reach out. Suicide is currently the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. There are 129 suicides that take place each and every day. And when you scale back internationally, there are 800,000 successful suicides. That's one death roughly every 40 seconds. So if you or someone you know is struggling, you guys can reach out to us on any of our social media. Call the Suicide Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. You can text anonymously to 741-741 or go to victimsandvillains.net/hope. You guys can get even more resources past those 5 that I just mentioned. And wherever you guys are listening to this, in the show notes, the descriptions for this episode, you guys can get all those links, quick clicks. Please stay with us. Your life has so much value. And that's the reason why we do this show, is so that you guys can know that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to Creature Feature Weekend. We are presenting a brand new horror convention coming to Gettysburg on Labor Day weekend, August 30th, 31st, and September 1st of 2019. We will feature many guests from Corey Feldman to Joe Bob Briggs, and many you may not have seen before, such as Glenn Ennis, who portrayed Jason in Freddy vs. Jason, Billy Bryan, who was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Walter Phelan, who was Dr. Satan, and of course Patty Mullen, who was the Frankenhooker. We are going to have a talking board historical society with 50 or so Ouijas, starting from the beginning up to present day. We are going to have an oddities exhibit, arcade machines, a full film festival, including a premiere of a movie, and live music. So please, come on out. Buy tickets at Brown Paper Tickets and visit our website at www.creaturefeatureweekend.com. Thank you.
From the galactic depths of the comic book universe comes the Ghosts of the Stratosphere, ready to galvanize and energize your mind with the latest of comic book news and reviews. And why are you stopping me?
Yes, that's much better. Hi, this is Andy Larson for Ghosts of the Stratosphere. Join me every week along with my co-hosts Rob Stewart and Chad Smith, as well as a cavalcade of fantastic comic book guests, as we dish out heaping helpings of the greatest and latest of comic book news and reviews. New shows posted every Tuesday, with bonus shows every first Friday of the month. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher under Ghosts of the Stratosphere, as well as on our website, www.gotstratosphere.com. Hope to see you soon, folks.
All right. Welcome back to Victims and Villains. We are talking all about the spoilers for Hellboy. So if you have not seen Hellboy yet, hit pause. We are officially entering into spoiler territory. And I'm gonna crack this thing open because I felt like the biggest thing that this film had problems with was its tone. I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt like it was either trying to be like extremely comedic and sarcastic in some sequences, and then you had other sequences that were trying to really embrace this horror route, and then they were like, oh, we have to like have this like action movie nature to it too. Like it felt like it tried to be too much, too quick, and it felt like it tried to embrace so much of his mythology, like just unnecessarily, like shoving it into the actual plot of the film.
Yeah, a lot of it was like like those three things you pointed out, like a big like a big triple threat, like all these great things, and you're trying to put them in one, and it's just not meshing. And it's just confusing, and like a lot of this stuff that went on in this film too, I felt was like super rushed, kind of jumbled together, and I was sitting there thinking like, okay, take some time and explain things. Like I don't know, things just went too fast to me, as well.
And I'm almost kind of curious because when I originally had bought my tickets for this film, it was like the Regal app that I purchased it said that the running time was 2.5 hours. And when I logged in today to like actually get to the theater to get my, to sit down, it said that it was 2 hours and 1 minute was the running time. So that's a half hour gap that you have there. And when you look at something like another comic book movie that really had a sour taste in people's mouths was Batman v Superman, at the time of its release, and it was said to be this really rushed, messy film that just cut really quickly. And I can see exactly what you're talking about. So I'm almost kind of curious if they rushed it, like they cut a half hour of this out, because like it does feel almost incomplete in places. And like I don't know how to like what to explain what is truly wrong with this film, except it is just the nature of how it presents itself to the audience.
Yeah, I remember thinking, like, in the middle, about in the middle of the movie, thinking to myself, like, man, I can't wait till this Blu-ray comes out. I hope this is a director's cut. Like, I really do. It could have used another 30 minutes or 45 minutes or so. I mean, 2.5 hours would have been fine. Because mine actually said 2 hours and 2 minutes, and then today it said 2 hours and 1 minute, so it was really confusing. But yeah, 30, 45 minutes extra would have been great.
I think too that like Hellboy is kind of, while I really enjoyed David Harbour as Hellboy, he had this really sarcastic edge to him that when you read our review on the website, it almost to me kind of looked like the writer who is Alex, the writer of the film, whose name is Andrew Cosby. It almost felt like he watched Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2 and picked out the parts that he felt like were the strongest and said, I can do this with Hellboy. Because if you look by the end, by the time that they reach the end, we kind of get this like tease of Abe Sapien. There's definitely this kind of like X-Force mentality, like humor to it, kind of the way that they've like unnecessarily formed this team.
Yeah.
And like his like sarcastic like wit throughout the course of the whole film, right from the very beginning, like with the like the joke with like the phone, the running joke with the phone, just some of the like the quips that he would like respond to, like he had a very dry sense of humor to it, to him. And there's nothing wrong with that, but like just the places and where they like the portions of the film where they place that humor really threw a lot of the tone of the film off.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. There's a lot of things that I felt like he was trying maybe too hard, maybe, like, because I was sitting there watching it, and like I'm really bad at like comparing things sometimes, and I was sitting there like just comparing it to Ron Perlman the entire time, and I really didn't want to, but I just felt like Ron Perlman and his like humorous side was effortless, where Harbour kind of, I don't know, like tried too hard in a way. I mean, there were some things you said that did make me laugh, but there's some things I just like kind of like could have done without, you know. And talking about Sapien there at the end, I honestly thought that Daniel Day Kim's character was going to be Sapien. Like, I really did think that.
I mean, I'm glad that we got a trimmed down version of the character for this film, because while I really enjoyed Abe and Liz and a lot of like exploring the internal affairs of the BPRD in the first two films, I think that this one really helps it stand on its own, because if you really pay close attention to a lot of the details of how everything unfolds, there's a lot of Hellboy that you are seeing by himself. And Baba Yaga the Baba Yaga sequence is one of the best examples of that point, in saying that, hey, we can make a good help. We can make a Hellboy movie that doesn't need to be associated with all of these characters. Like, look at how good these sequences are by themselves, where it's just Hellboy.
Yeah, oh yeah, I can feel that. He definitely stood his own on his own, but that ran together really fast. Yeah, I thought he stood his own though pretty well. I was going to ask you, because I think you've read more of the comics than I have. How, like, because I wasn't familiar with Daniel Day Kim's character or Alice. How like important are they to like Hellboy's like story in the comics?
So I actually don't know a lot of these characters that are in these comics, which is something that I truly appreciated about this film too, is like, I'm very much a Hellboy novice when it comes to his mythology. I know a lot of the basics about like the RBRD, that is a tongue twister still to say, his relationship between Professor Broom, his origin stories, his ties to Rasputin, Nazis, and there's a lot of things that I do know about this character, but there's still a lot that I don't know. And I think bringing in the M11, when you're bringing in the M11, Major Ben DeMio, Grugratch, who I probably said his name wrong, Lobster Johnson, Alice, Lady Haddon, the Osiris Club, like, there's a lot of this mythology that is brought in. And to me, like, that's something I really respect about this film, is that, like you had said in the beginning of the episode, it's a good try. It really opens up the canon to Hellboy films. I think that this is a very strong film for Hellboy fans. I think that the way that Zack Snyder approached a lot of the DC mythology, giving us things that we had never seen before on on film with the Mother Boxes and the Fourth World Jack Kirby stuff. I think that Neil Marshall, who's the director of this film, that's definitely the way that he approached this, is that there is a lot of mythology that's unfolded. And although it doesn't always find perfection when it lands, it is really cool to kind of get to explore a lot of the mythos of these characters.
Oh yeah, definitely. I have a really good friend in Dakota, and I texted him after the movie and was like, you know, I didn't love it as much as I wanted to, but he was like, dude, I absolutely loved it. And he just kind of going into what you said, that this is a good film for big Hellboy fans. His favorite comic is Hellboy. And he was kind of giving like a brief like run through of like what he loved. And I was like, man, I wish I knew more about the comics, because I want to enjoy it like that, you know. But you're talking about and you're bringing in those people and giving a strong movie for the diehard fans. I wouldn't mind seeing like a movie of Lobster Johnson. I really enjoyed him. I don't know why, but I really enjoyed Lobster Johnson.
Lobster Johnson, like Thomas Hayden Church plays Lobster Thompson in this, and that is like one of my favorite sequences in the entire film, because it's very comic accurate in its costume design, which is something that I always really appreciate. I think a lot of these films for the last 20 years have always kind of adapted the costumes to fit their cinematic vision rather than their cinematic vision adapting to the comic, the costumes, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's really cool when you get to see these comic accurate suits appear on screen. And Rasputin is one of those things that just looks really great. And Lobster Johnson is another one of those guys that looks really great. And the mid-credit scene between him and Lobster is one of the best scenes in the whole movie. And he's like, just can I see it? He's like, I love you, Lobster Johnson.
Yeah, that was awesome. That reminded me of like the episode of SpongeBob where they're at the jellyfish convention and Patrick runs into Jeffrey the jellyfish. He's like, Jeffrey, I have to touch you. And he ends up like putting him, like wrapping him up in rope and putting him in a wagon. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Obscure reference over here.
But yeah, no, I totally get that. And that again goes to Harper's credit. And I think we've spent a lot of time on this episode so far talking about a lot of the issues of the film. Well, one of the major issues of the film, I have another massive one that I will bring up in just a few minutes. But can we spend a couple minutes just talking about how good Harbor is in this film? For as much as wrong with this film, I think Harbor by himself, I think, brings this film up a whole notch. Like, he just delivers a beautifully complex character that is sarcastic, broken, sympathetic, and searching. That's just something that I really love. I was fascinated and just enthralled with him the entire time that he was on the screen, and his costume design just looks really good. And just the intro that we just like, the way that we get to see him in Tijuana, where he's going back to rescue the agent Ruiz, was such a cool sequence, especially where he just kind of like shyly takes off the hood and he's like, doesn't really want the attention, but he embraces it nonetheless. Like, it was such a a lot of his stuff is so perfect for this film.
Oh no, I agree with you, man. I thought he was great. I mean, like I said, opening this show up, I said that, you know, it was a good effort, but I thought he had a very strong like effort in this. Like, great. I mean, he had a great role. And I love the scene you were talking about because it had wrestling in it.
I knew you were gonna love that. I love that guy's character design too. It was like this, like, have you ever seen the pop, like the Funkos, where they're called Batman Imposters, and it's basically Batman's like rogue galleries? Like, his design looked like Batman Poison Ivy just with no cape. Like, it was very bright and neon green with the purple. It was such a cool design.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was sitting there, of course, me being a nerd, I was sitting there trying to see if, like, they use any, like, actual, like, wrestlers in this film. And I was like, man, I can't place a name on them. Because I was trying to recognize a mask. Me being the nerd I am.
But there's another great sequence where it just kind of shows his strength is the – one of my favorite sequences, I think, is the sequence where he goes to visit Baba Gaga or Yaga, and he's, like, having dinner with her, and he's just, like, just opens it up, and he's like, is that a children? Like, it embraces the horror, but it's really at the end of their exchange where he's talking. He's made this deal where he will give this creature one of his eyes in exchange for the Blood Queen's, like, where she, like, location. And he just, like, you know, you just never specified. Always got to specify. And it was just one of the funniest, like, most, like, sarcastically dry humored things in this film, but just the way that he delivers it, it's just like a guy that's, like, comfortable, but he knows the fact that he's made enemies and he's okay with that. Yeah. It's like, that's one thing I just really loved about his interpretation.
Yeah, I liked after all that when he came back to the UK and fell through the table. And he gets up, and he's like, oh, I need a breath, man, because he had just sat down kissing her, and, like, he had that white over his lips and stuff.
Which is one of the most disturbing sequences in this movie.
Yeah, it was weird. I really liked, you know, kind of leading up to finding out that his mom was a human, and because, like, for a monster, like, he is pretty human, and he's really relatable. For the most part, I feel like, and he was already showing that side, like, you know, he was kind of flirting with, like, with the blood queen, like, maybe if you would stop killing the monsters, she'd stop trying to kill you, you know? So he was already kind of, like, trying to go back and forth with a human, like, feel of himself and, like, feeling like a monster. Then he comes to find out he's actually half human, half monster, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool, like, the leading up to that, because, like, I could just tell in his kind of facial expression when he figured it out that it was kind of one of those, like, eye-opening things, and I thought he kind of sold it well in the expression he just made in that, and kind of, but, like, I remember he looked at, was it Merlin that showed him that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Merlin was...
No, it wasn't Merlin, because when Merlin had shown him Excalibur, which showed him basically destroying everything and ushering in the apocalypse, it was Namor, who I'm just gonna call the Blood Queen because I can't remember her name.
But so
it's like the Blood Queen that has this exchange with her that she basically tells him about his past.
Yeah, I don't know why I got those two jumbled up, but he looked at her and was like, so my mother was human. And, you know, like, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool. I don't know if that's, like, accurate in the comics. I have no idea. I'm sure it is, I really don't know. But I thought it was cool to, like, see that he's been, like, embracing, like, a very, like, human side of himself, then him to find out his mom was actually human.
Yeah. It is a cool thing. And I think too that, you know, you talked about really liking Mila Jovovich as the villain in this. And I love that it starts with her because it sets the stage. And Ian McShay's, who plays Professor Broom in this, his narration is just very, very Deadpoolish. Like, it's very, like, I hate to keep comparing this film to Deadpool, but it's just very, very meta, and it's, like, very sarcastic, and it sets the stage really well for how this film is going to be portrayed. But just her arc throughout the course of it, and just some of the things that her exchange that she basically creates. I think one of the coolest sequences with her is when the three sisters basically come back in modern day after betraying her, and the one that actually sells her out to Merlin and King Arthur, like, just hands her crown, and then the other two sisters, she slowly just uses basically magic and just, like, deteriorates them. And it was one of the most cool scenes to sequence within it, because it really allowed you to kind of see truly just how formidable of a foe that she is. But at the same time, I think that the busyness of this film really, really basically didn't use her to her full extent. I think that they definitely had kind of like a Ragnarok situation, where they have this really powerful female villain, but they have so much going on within the film as well that they don't really use her to the full extent. Like, that, the sequences after she gets her power back, I would have loved to really seen. I wish it would have occurred more a little bit earlier in the film, and we would have been able to really see her be a more formidable foe than what we got.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of Ragnarok too during the movie. But yeah, I'm with you there, man. I wish he would have had more chances to really show off the powers that she gained back. I did love this scene though, when the name escapes me. The hog guy. Oh, I forgot his name. The big pig hog dude.
Yeah, Grug.
Grugnatch,
I think is what the guy's name is.
When he's like getting all her body parts, and she's sitting on that couch, and like all of her body parts kind of just like there, kind of like she's just watching TV. This is a cool scene. Just like seeing her with like her body parts kind of just like there, kind of connected, kind of not. And she's just watching TV, like just chilling. I thought it was really cool.
It's Grugnatch, and I'm probably saying that wrong. And if you guys are like diehard Hellboy fans, I'm super sorry. I suck at pronouncing names. I'm notorious about it on this show. But I think that what, like, her commentary about the way that we've kind of evolved since like the Dark Ages, where she was ruling and being enslaved for like 1500 years, like it's a really powerful message about how we've kind of technologically evolved, but yet at the same time also kind of almost become like super disconnected, like what we place value in nowadays, like, isn't what it once was. Like, back when she was in her prime and her time, like, you had a lot of, you know, you were out more, you communicated more, and it's funny how advanced we are as a technology based generation, but yet how disconnected we are at the same time. And the things that we put, you know, value into, like the singing competitions, and she was watching this like almost these like MTV styled show where it was like one of those like Real World or like Road Rules or something like that, where it's just like this like pointless half hour of like time and energy that we embrace and like we come into. And it does say a lot about, you know, what we have come. And I'm saying this as I'm getting ready to spend 48 hours this weekend playing nothing but video games for our fundraiser, Hope Station. But at the same time, you know, it is one of those things that we have kind of devolved our values, I think, a little bit in the way we do spend our time sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, she was watching a really bad representation of humans anyway, watching like an MTV Spring Break episode or something. Like, what a bad representation.
But I mean, I mean, like, to like another point, like to pull from like another comic book reference, you look at the way that in the first season of Daredevil, the way that Kingpin talked about how, you know, we waste times on social medias and sharing videos of cats and these like stupid challenges, whether you're talking about Tide Pod or the condom challenge or the the cinnamon challenge, like all these like stupid challenges that are like, how much can you push yourself to the brink of death before actually dying? It is ridiculous, you know, that we are the only this is the only generation growing up now that has ever had, that can honestly say that we have been so distracted by technology that we literally have two deaths under our belts because of Pokemon Go. You know, it's a it's a thing that I as much as I talk against it, I acknowledge it. Because I do it. I know I do it. Like, I sat on today before, as I was preparing the show notes for this episode, like, I was watching a documentary. I was watching TV. And then my wife and I were sitting down for dinner. We sat down to watch The Office. Like, it's just one of those things, too, that, you know, it's – I do look at that, and I both love and hate technology, because I hate the fact that it's a really modern day challenge to sit down and have a conversation with someone that's literally right across the table from me without something in my hand.
Yeah, that is really tough. Like, I know, like, in the past when I went on dates and stuff like that, I've always tried to have my phone in my pocket, and it just naturally comes out, and it's just so tough. It is so tough to not just indulge into technology as much as you do. I mean, like, even when I'm just, like, sitting, like, before a movie, the trailers, that's what I'm doing. I'm on my Facebook, Instagram, playing some kind of game, seeing if there's any Pokemon in there I can catch, you know? And it's just kind of consuming, you know? And a lot of times, we do catch ourselves kind of living through the lens of our phones. Like, you know, I remember what it was on. I remember someone talking about, like, you know, watching videos of these sunsets in certain places, or watching these videos of, like, these stars and stuff like that. People like, hey, how about sitting, like, watching on TV? Like, go and see it. You know, people would rather watch it on their phones than go out and, like, actually live and travel, you know?
Yeah, like, I've been trying to, like, slowly make it a challenge for myself to where I can sit down and watch a movie and not have a screen in front of my lap, to where whether that is a movie that I'm reviewing or just something to shut off my brain, like, I want to be able to sit down and fully immerse myself within this world, because that is exactly why we go to the movies. That's exactly why we pick up books, is to escape, is we want to see something we haven't seen before. And I think it's becoming increasingly hard to do that, because we have almost rewired our brains to constantly have to have our minds engaging in something.
Yeah, man, I'm really there. Always have to have our eyes on something else. That's not what's right in front of us, you know?
Absolutely. And something that I wish I could have had my eyes on something else during this movie was the CGI.
Yeah. awesome movie. The Naked Professor had better CGI than this.
So, all right.
No, it was okay. It wasn't that. I mean, I don't know.
This is a terrible CGI movie. Like, the practical effects of, like, Hellboy and Baba Yaga, like, even the practical, like, effects, mocap effects of Grudge, the man pig, like, even that looks really good. But then when you get into some of these sequences with, like, Alice possessing the body, Alice possessing, like, the bodies of, like, the recently deceased to give the message, those are hard things to watch, because especially the end with Professor Broom and the finale of this film, because it makes Will Smith's genie look amazing.
Oh, like, boy.
The very first, and they've cleaned it up, and you could tell that they've cleaned it up from the very first trailer to the most recent one, but the very first trailer, like, there's just a lot wrong with his body movement. Like, it doesn't align properly, and that's definitely the way that it feels here. Like, it's just, it's very noticeable and very bad. And the sequences with, like, the trolls and the Excalibur scene, like, there's so much bad CGI in this film that you can tell that they didn't pour a lot of money into this, or if they did pour a lot of money into it, they didn't evenly distribute it, because there are aspects of this film that look really good, and then there are aspects of this film that look really cheap and unfinished.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, kind of like the action scenes with all the monsters and the trolls, and at the end there, that I kind of cringed at. I can't remember, like, specifically what was going on. I just remember there being a sword involved. But
now that was the trolls.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know. I guess that it was, like, just very vivid. And I just remember, like, thinking, man, this is bad.
Because I remember that it was the trolls, because it is. I really am, like, and I'm, like, sorry to the listeners right now that I keep comparing this movie to other movies.
Yeah.
But there is a one particular scene within The Hobbit with three trolls, and Bilbo is trying to escape those trolls, and the CGI in that, like, doesn't look that great, but it looks like a cinematic masterpiece compared to this. And the trolls, there's the way that they look, they just, again, they look unfinished. And when you have that, the CGI of the trolls makes the CGI of the landscape also come out and also look really bad. Like, you can tell that the green screen's also unfinished as well.
Yeah, that's something I did notice. I'll take your comparison there. I take your word for it. I've never actually seen The Hobbit movies, so, but I, you know, I haven't heard best things about them either, but I definitely take your word on that.
But I don't know, man. Like, there's so much more that I felt like the CGI could have done with this. And again, it's just the, when you're, there's so much about the practical effects that looks good. Even Fates, the three Fates, when they're resurrecting the Blood Queen, they look so good. They look so creepy. And I think that practical effects have gotten a really bad rep in the digital age because of how much they, like, how cheap that they can look, and, like, how nostalgic they can look at the same time. But when you have them in a film like this, and even, I think that's one of the best things about Guillermo del Toro's films is the practical effect nature of that. Even when you look at other films that he has done, whether you're talking Pan's Labyrinth, whether you're talking The Orphanage, whether you are talking about The Shape of Water, a lot of the practical effects that he uses in his films, he uses them really well. And when this film does do a really good job at bringing the practical effects in there and creating a creepy atmosphere, but the CGI in it kind of really, really brings it down a little bit because it is so noticeable and it just looks, again, so unfinished.
Yeah, man, I definitely back that. It did look very unfinished. And like you said, too, there was some scenes where they look beautiful, like bringing back the Blood Queen. Like, I thought that was really cool.
That was one of my favorite sequences. just to kind of see, because of, like, the way that they looked. I love, like, the practical horror. aspects, like people say what you will about the Conjuring universe, but I like a lot of like the looks and the feels of those films because of like the design and just the aesthetic of it. And that's definitely one thing I found myself really liking about Hellboy was the aesthetic of it, is the aesthetic of Baba Yaga, the aesthetic of the climactic battle here between the Blood Queen and Hellboy, and just a lot of these more horror-based natures. But unfortunately, it kind of goes without saying. And so, I mean, this film's, it's still entertaining, a lot of it, but there's a lot of like things that are riddled wrong with this movie.
No, yeah, definitely. All in all, I mean, like, I did enjoy it. But at the same time, I was kind of like, man, I wish I enjoyed it more, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't something that I was like, hey, don't see that. But it was something I'm like, yeah, you can go see it. But, I mean, like, just bear with it, you know. But, I mean, definitely, it was cool to see this new characters. Like, if you're just familiar with the first two movies, it was cool to see some characters that you probably never heard of before. So that was really cool. And then, you know, of course, David Harbour's performance was awesome.
So we are going to move on to Rose to Hope. And this is the point in our show where we engage with our guest of the week about a theme of mental health or hope or suicide prevention that we are pulling from the source material of the episode. And the majority of Hellboy's arc throughout the course of this is, while, yes, he is trying to stop the apocalypse, he is always trying to basically prove everyone else wrong around him about what his destiny or his final destination is supposed to be. He is supposed to be this death bringer, this destroyer of worlds, to where, you know, he is going to bring about the apocalypse. And I think that it's something to keep in mind when you are going through depression, is that just because you're going through that season, it doesn't have to be your final destination, that there's always going to be something better out there for you, something that you can't see in this, you can't see necessarily in this situation because of just how involved depression can be. But making yourself through that depression and keep persevering, keep looking and keep searching for hope, it's something that is out there and something that is personal and something that you can have.
Yeah, because, I mean, it definitely goes hand in hand with, you know, struggling with depression and anxiety, because, like, anxiety and depression is going to tell you, like, those things that, hey, you are, like, you're not good enough, you're not going to make it through all this, blah, blah. And you have to prove that wrong. You have to prove that voice of depression and anxiety wrong. And there might be people in your life that are doing the same thing to you, and you got to prove that wrong too. And I thought, you know, I definitely noticed that with Hellboy, that was his thing, was like, yeah, you say I was brought here for this, but like, I'm going to tell you why I'm not and prove why I'm not. And yeah, I mean, that goes hand in hand with that. You know, perseverance is key. You know, that's one of my favorite Hatebreed songs, Perseverance. And like, it's just, you know, keep pushing through. You know, don't let nothing get your mind off the things. Don't let nothing tell you any different. You know, keep going.
Absolutely. And that's the reason why we push this content, so that you guys can know that hope is not just a concept of film or video games or movies or something that musicians write about in songs. It's something that, from the both of us, that we have been through and that we have persevered through, because we've both gone through depression. I can't speak for Brandon, but I've gone through addiction. I have gone through thoughts of suicide. And at the end of the day, like, it's always about readjusting your vision to something that is going to bring you hope, something that is going to, for lack of a better word, distract you from the circumstances that depression is pressing in. And I think that even if you can hold yourself up, like right now, like, I would say, like, okay, You know, tomorrow is a new day. I'm going to look forward to tomorrow or next Friday. You know, two weeks, Avengers Endgame comes out. So, like, that's always something to keep, like, striving for. Aladdin comes out next month. Lion King comes out in July. And there's so much that I think you can say to look forward to. And even if it's not, you can say Stranger Things comes back in July, or I'm getting married in June, or this or that. There's so much that you can insert here to make it personal, to where there is always something to look forward to, whether it is something that is large or something that is intimate. There's always something to readjust your vision for and find hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I think this is going to do it for us. Once again, if you guys have our wrestling fans, we did put out a WrestleMania part one of a two-part series on 2019 WrestleMania. It is also dropping the same day as this review. So, Brandon, on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you give Hellboy 2019?
Like a 2.5.
I'm also going to go 2.5, right down the middle. There's a lot to love about this film, a lot to hate, but it's still an entertaining ride all the way through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with you there.
All right. So where can people find you online, my friend?
Twitter at Brendan W. Miller, Instagram at Changing the Times. By the time you're hearing this, I'll let you know that there will be two Power Ranger reviews because I missed last Saturday because of WrestleMania weekend. So I'm going to try to do – I will be doing both of them at some point this weekend. So be on the lookout for that on our Facebook. And, yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, check out the show that we put together for the Indies and for WrestleMania and for Ring of Honor and NXT. Both episodes are really fun and got a lot to talk about in that. So yeah, man, that's it for me.
Sweet. And you guys can join us all weekend starting April 12th through April 14th from noon Friday until noon Sunday. We are doing 48 hours of game streams. We have some awesome prizes to give away from ourselves, from our sponsors over at Second and Charles, and Game On in Miller's Place out of New York. And we're raising money to get mental health resources into schools and conventions, and we need your guys' help to do that. So join us this weekend, and for as little as $1, you guys can go to Making the Differences to Children and Geeks Everywhere. You guys can follow us everywhere at Victims and Villains. If you guys like what we stand for, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/victimsandvillains, or pick up some swag in our Etsy shop. I hope that you guys will join us this weekend for Hope Station. We have some awesome streamers that are streaming some truly awesome things. But make sure that you guys leave your thoughts on the new Hellboy in the comments below. I think it's definitely going to be a point of discussion for a long time. I think you have a lot of diehard fans of Ron Perlman that are going to hate this movie before even seeing it. So we'll see what happens. I think this is going to definitely go down as a cult classic.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It's kind of one of those movies that, like, even though it has a lot wrong with it, like, it's still entertaining.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys on the flip side. Until next time, remember to keep talking nerd, talking hope, speaking nothing else, and never bring the apocalypse.
That's Entertainment Podcast Network. Entertainment and culture. Artist owned. Fan supported.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.